The Lead Story is proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, insight, advice, impact.
My name is Angie Scholes, and I'm joined by Robert McGregor from Cirrus Capital. Robert, President Ntembu Nandi Ndaitwa launched the 6th National Development Plan this week. How does the NDP 6 align with Namibia's current macroeconomic conditions in terms of debt, growth, and employment?
Yes, thanks for having me, Angie. NDP 6 comes sort of towards the end of the phase for Vision 2030, the various development plans. So the 5 previous ones and then this one are supposed to sort of amalgamate and get us towards those goals. The challenge is that we are very, very, very far off of those. I think employment or unemployment, it's very clear we're very far off those targets. Unemployment is incredibly high in this country. And that's even just looking at the sort of the strict or narrow definition of unemployment. If you take it broader, things look much, much worse. Growth in the last couple of years has been all right, coming out of sort of what we saw from 2015 to 2019, and then obviously the initial COVID shock. But coming out of that growth has been okay. It's not quite where we need it to really sort of decrease unemployment and achieve much higher growth. And in terms of the debt perspective, I mean, we saw that from the 2010s, we saw a massive increase in debt, the issuance of 2 Eurobonds, the large increase in domestic debt as well. And obviously, COVID had a large negative impact there. And we've seen some level of stabilization. But quite frankly, there is still a very, very, very long way to go.
Robert, do you believe the plan sets a realistic economic growth target considering the country's fiscal space?
So I think the target is to have around 7% real GDP growth by at least 2030. I don't think that high economic growth in sort of the 5, 6, 7% range is out of the question for Namibia. I just don't think that we're going to achieve it given what we're seeing at the moment. So Namibia is a small, open, developing economy. I think it's quite easy to see relatively high growth, particularly given the potential we see here. But I think what we're seeing is, again, you know, a government that still sees itself at the center of growth, trying to drive growth directly. And I don't think that that's going to result in high economic growth. In fact, it will probably lead us to have economic growth below our potential economic growth, more so because there simply isn't fiscal room to do that much direct stimulus. You can see that we are still running relatively sizable deficits. Government is still spending beyond its means. And that means this just translates into the fact that government doesn't have that much more additional money to spend where it needs to, in terms at least of short-term direct stimulus. And as a result of the large operational requirements, particularly around the wage bill absorbing most of government's revenue, it means that we're seeing very little in the way of development expenditure, and that's what can help sustain longer-term economic growth.
Robert, which sectors are best positioned to drive the recovery and resilience objectives outlined in the plan?
So, I mean, as usual, following in line with what we've seen in the previous sort of national development plans, as well as in Vision 2050, is that there's a large reliance on, for instance, agriculture as well as manufacturing. And then there is also mention of a handful of other sectors, government's role in it, especially through sort of construction, as we see in the SWAPO manifesto implementation plan, and then also talk around green hydrogen and oil and gas. So these are supposed to be sort of the sectors that drive it. However, I must caution that I don't think that a sort of hand-picking or focusing on a few sectors to drive growth is the correct approach. We can't central plan economies. It simply does not work. It hasn't worked for the last 10, 15, 20 years, and it will not work in future. What we need to do is we need to create an environment that, irrespective of which sector you're in, it's conducive to doing business in Namibia. It's conducive to investment coming in, and if it wants to leave, allowing it to leave, and thereby allowing the economy, allowing the market to figure out what works, what doesn't, and to allow growth from there. But trying to handpick winners is simply a losing strategy.
What are the biggest implementation risks facing NDP 6, especially given past challenges and executing previous development plans?
I think the big risks are around the reliance on government to be the solution to the challenges we face. And so we have acknowledgement that, for instance, government can't be at the center of job creation. We need to allow private sector to create jobs. But the challenge is that what we see with a lot of the development plans, with what we see in a lot of legislation, is that government wants to insert itself into every sort of ambit of the economy, into every industry in the economy. And that just simply drives it, will drive things slower, and it might even turn away investment, whether domestic or foreign. Bear in mind that the private sector has very different sort of initiatives, very different needs to and incentives to the government, and also moves at very, very different speeds. So what we, again, as I mentioned, need to do is need to make sure that private sector has the scope to do what it needs to do. Government can be there to oversee and to regulate to some extent. But what we see is a government that still wants to be very, very much involved in every ambit of private sector's activity across the economy. And that's not going to be conducive to the growth that we need.
Yeah. Do you think Namibia is attracting the kind of investments, both domestic and foreign, needed to achieve the goal of NDP6?
Quite frankly, no. If we look at the data that is available to us, the bulk of investment that we've seen, both foreign direct investment, but also overall investment in the economy, has been into the extractive industry. So that's oil and gas as well as mining. And not to say that these sectors aren't important and aren't transformative. The scale of potential oil and gas definitely is, but we cannot have such a single reliance on something of this nature. If you strip out the investment into the extractive sectors, overall investment in the economy has been declining steadily in real terms since around 2014. And that shows you that the rest of private sector simply doesn't have the confidence needed yet to be investing into the economy for long-term productivity, for employment growth, and for wage growth. And so we definitely need a turnaround that says, listen, what we've been trying for the last 10 or 15 years clearly hasn't been working. We need to give the economy the scope to do what it needs to and not try and direct everything from a central planning perspective.
Yeah. So how important is independent economic monitoring in keeping the government accountable for NDP6 targets?
So I think it's obviously vital. We need to make sure that you know, if we've got targets, we need to at least be able to make sure we can try and get to them, and to what extent we do, if we miss them by how much, and what is the reason for this. And the vital part of this is, quite frankly, national statistics. So, you know, relying on a census, which is once a decade for, you know, employment data or anything of that nature, means that there simply isn't data to say, have we made progress? Yes or no? We can rely on some level of anecdotal evidence and other sort of high frequency data here, but it simply isn't sufficient. We need to collect far more frequent and more detailed national data. So whether it's in the form of annual labor force surveys, household income and expenditure surveys more regularly, things of that nature.
Just the last question, how should Namibia measure the success of NDP6 over the next 5 years?
So there's lots of targets in terms of, for instance, agriculture or exports or manufacturing as a contribution to GDP and similar. I think overall, you know, we face the sort of triple threat around unemployment, poverty and inequality. I think it's important to bear in mind that ultimately what it comes down to is unemployment. Unemployment is what drives poverty and inequality. Those are symptoms of the high levels of unemployment we face in this country. And so there might be many different measures and many different targets within the plan and within many of our development plans. But I think ultimately what we need to focus on is unemployment. If we can actively reduce unemployment in this country, I think it will be to some extent a success. And that's not by sort of looking at or changing definitions or using different definitions. It's simply by ensuring that more Namibians have jobs and that we create jobs faster than what we see the labor force growing by.
Robert, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
The lead story was proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, insight, advice, impact.